We hear Jesus speaking to the apostles, the disciples that are there. He is in the area of what's called Caesarea Philippi. That would be in, well, it's actually beyond northern Israel, modern-day Lebanon, at the foothills of Mount Hermon. And so he's there with his disciples, sharing some things. He asked them certainly a question. This probably took place maybe January, early January of 33 AD, so about maybe 3 months before Jesus goes to his death. And so he asked them, he's really, it seems like he's trying to just maybe buttress the faith of his disciples. He's asking them, well, who do people say that I am? And eventually, they say John the Baptist, Elijah, and one of the prophets. And then Jesus really wants to know, well, who do you say that I am? And then to this, Peter responds, you are the Christ. So Peter acknowledges that. If you read Matthew's gospel, it seems like Jesus tells Peter that it was the Father who reveals this to him. And then Jesus goes on and shares some things about the faith, founding the faith on Peter, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then Jesus, for the first time, reveals to them that he must suffer greatly, be rejected by the leaders, die, but then rise on the third day. And Peter kind of rebukes Jesus. He says, basically, you shouldn't do that. To which Jesus responds very strongly. He says, and he addresses this, Jesus addresses this to his disciples. He turns and looks at them and he says, get behind me, Satan. And so that's certainly a kind of surprising thing that Jesus says. And then he goes on and says, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And so I just want to expand this a little bit. You know, Jesus tells Satan to get behind him. Now, you could say that this, well, that was kind of figuratively, you know, he was telling Peter because Peter said something that he really should not have said. So maybe it was figuratively. Or maybe it was actually, Satan was actually there. That seems more probable. Satan actually was there tempting Peter. Remember, Jesus is God. He can see the spiritual. He knows. I mean, a number of times in the Gospels, Jesus identifies demons in people. He knows they're there. And they acknowledge him, these demons. So Jesus says, Satan, get behind me. He's calling out Satan. So remember, Jesus, God, has still authority over the evil spirits, the demons and the devil. When God tells the devil to do something, he's got to do it. But that doesn't mean that God does not stop the devil from tempting. God allows the devil and the demons to tempt. This is why, you know, one should not get into the occult, because you open yourselves up to inviting in demons and bad things. So certainly, so Jesus is telling Satan to get behind him. And it's interesting, Satan is tempting Peter. You know, if you think about it, Peter had just been told by Jesus that he would have the church founded on him and that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. So you kind of think that Satan's trying to get at Peter, tempt him, get him to try to negate Jesus, deny Jesus, to basically tell Jesus, you're wrong. So the devil's tempting Peter. And, you know, one of the other things is why does the devil do this? He knows our weaknesses. You know, so he's tempting Peter with regards to human desires. You know, Peter, it seemed like, didn't want Jesus to go through great suffering and rejection and death. So the devil knows that he can get at our desires, you know, things that we're weak at. Go back to the very beginning, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what was the devil tempting them in? He said, go, that fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it really looks good, it tastes good, right? So he's playing on our desires. Oh, and oh, by the way, if you eat that fruit, you know what? You will become like gods. So they're attracted. There's a desire like, oh, I want to become like a god. And they forget that, I mean, God is God. God loves them. And so it's almost like the devil is playing on their desires. He knows their weakness. So this is what he seems to be doing with Peter. And Peter, you know, if you think about this, if Jesus is trying to buttress the faith of his apostles, his disciples, and they didn't really necessarily understand what Jesus was saying, in a sense, right? So when Jesus says he has to suffer, be rejected, die, but then rise on the third day, you could say, well, Peter, you know, those other things that seem bad lead to the resurrection. The resurrection, it leads to the resurrection. Do you know what that means? And I'm not, it doesn't seem like, you know, the apostles, again, we have the advantage, we kind of have some of the revelation. But this is the first time that this has been revealed to them. So they're probably struggling with this. So, but look at the big picture. You know, so the desires, you know, we really have to look at our desires. And what is our desires as far as, you know, the resurrection? That's what Jesus calls all of us to. He calls all of us to the resurrection. Because what does he say? He says to the crowds, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. So we have to go through the sufferings and the cross to get to the resurrection. That's what Jesus shows us. So how do we deny ourselves? This is interesting. You know, what does that mean? Deny ourselves. You know, some might think, well, we deny who God made us to be. Well, that is not correct. There are people out there who are denying the way God made them. God made each of us just the way he wanted us to be made. Now, certainly we are sinful and we fall in times. But God always gives us the grace to get through what we need to avoid falling into sin. He made us exactly the way he wanted us. We're wonderfully and beautifully made in his image. So that's not the right aspect of denial. But more as denial of our desires, things of the flesh. St. Paul talks about this, you know, things of the flesh. This is what we have to be fighting against, you know, our desires that are improper. Yeah. So let's just take this, you know, we can have thoughts. Thoughts coming into our head. It's like, okay, I have a thought. And then it's like maybe we have like lust or some other bad thought. It's like, no, I'm not gonna entertain that. I'm not gonna entertain that thought. That's when we sin, oh, by the way, if we have a bad thought, if we entertain it, we actually want it. That's when we sin. So no, you say, no, I don't want that. We might have a desire, but I say no to it. And then certainly we like pleasure. You know, nothing wrong with pleasure in itself, but if it has a bad end, that's problematic. You know, for example, like if we you know, food tastes good, but if we have too much, not good. Or a drink, you know, if we like beer or wine, but too much, not good. So we have to temper those desires, certainly for pleasure. Or, you know, it's like we want to take the easy way out. Boy, this is, you know, I don't really want to say that because I might look bad. Or, you know, I don't want to tell the truth because, you know, then they'll know that I did something I shouldn't. Whether it's, you know, a child telling a lie to a parent, or a spouse. Oh, I think it's the easy way out to lie. It is not the easy way out. That actually makes it worse. Or, you know, like we have something that we're called to do, like at work, or, you know, like a child has homework to do. It's like, I really don't want to do it. But we have to persevere. We have to do it anyway. We may not prefer it, but we do it. To take those desires and like, okay, no, I'm gonna do what's good and right. I'm gonna do that work that God is calling me to do. Or suffering, you know. Suffering, oh, it's just, this is really hard. Well, yeah, it can be. But to say, hey, you know, I'm gonna offer this up. I'm gonna allow the Lord to help me in this suffering. So this is denying ourselves. Denying ourselves. And then taking up our cross. You see, sometimes, you know, we can reject the cross. And that's kind of like, well, I don't really want to take up my cross. It's really hard. We deny our preferences and we pick up our cross. And each one of us has a unique cross. You can't look at another person and say, hey, guess what? I wish I had their cross. No, each one of us has a unique cross. We take it up. We embrace it. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy or, you know, it's like, oh, I really want to have that cross. No, it's what God allows us to take up. Like, look at Jesus, you know, he in the agony in the garden, he was like, boy, this is really going to be hard, but Father, your will be done. Your will be done. And that's what Jesus did. He picked up that cross and died a horrific death. So Jesus is sharing with us, really, if you want to get to the resurrection, you want to rise with me on the last day, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, take up your cross, and follow me.